Good morning. It's finally Friday. Got a big smile on my face. Rebecca, are you happy that the weekend is here?
I am. Yes, indeed.
All right. We're going to be enjoying the weekend in the Twin Cities area. That's where Faith Radio is based. And we pray that wherever you might be along the Faith Radio network, you're going to be having a great weekend as well. Okay, here's a question for you. Why would a liberal atheist billionaire be bankrolling some liberal Christian organizations? Here to fill us in on that is Kelly Monroe Kohlberg. She's the author of Finding God at Harvard and one of the leaders in a new organization of evangelicals. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So you and a group of 630 Christian leaders are calling on so-called progressive Christians to repent. And you argue that these more liberal Christian groups often advance a destructive political agenda. And you point out their agenda is partly funded by billionaire leftist George Soros. To begin with, tell us about a few of these groups, what they stand for and what they do.
Sure. Well, good morning to your listeners. And if anyone's on their computer, they could look at AmericanEvangelicals.com, AmericanEvangelicals with a plural, S plural, .com. And we put up a letter last week that I'm the lead writer on, and over 1,000 people now have signed it, in which we embed the links. So you click on the links to see the evidence and substantiation of what we're saying. And basically, you know, a lot of us are kind of overwhelmed by the rapid moral and economic decline of America and the kind of, you know, persecution or attacks on the church and so forth. I think there was a sense of this was just inevitable in America, you know, nations rise and fall or something. But what we're learning is that we're actually just being outmaneuvered by people with a very particular agenda. And that can sound a little, I don't know, conspiratorial, except that the evidence is now becoming very clear. And the Open Society Foundation is owned and kind of run by George Soros, who's a Hungarian billionaire, a self-declared atheist who he said had messianic fantasies, and he's a very strange guy. And he broke the Bank of England in 1992. He's a felon in France for insider trading. He's really profited by weakening currencies and weakening cultures, a hedge fund guy, etc. Well, what we learned is that with the hacking of the Open Society Foundation recently, is that he's been hugely using Bible words to fund anti-Christian projects. It's a wicked scheme, and he's hugely funded, you know, we might say the religious left, only they don't say that. So they're groups that run fronts, are what they call surprising validators for certain politicians, of course, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Soros is the co-chairman of Ready for Hillary PAC, and but also their projects. So there were ministers in front of the breakdown of biblical marriage, of open borders, and hugely funding the refugee resettlement projects, you know, that are rejecting Christians and almost entirely now Muslims. And God loves Muslims. He loves us all. And yet we were saying, well, what isn't there a biblical view of immigration that is wise, welcome, and also welcoming those who are truly deeply persecuted, and not just Syrians, but also Christians and Yazidis and so forth. So they were running ministers in front of the transgender bill, the men and women's bathrooms, the Iran nuclear deal, groups that actually malign Israel. So it's very clever. It's a communist tactic, an Alinsky kind of tactic of surprising validators. And some of the Soros foundations, this is a network of foundations like New America Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and others, they literally speak of rent, they call it rent and evangelical. So if they can rent, hire often well-known ministers One is Richard Cizik, who was the head of the National Association of Evangelicals on Capitol Hill for years. And he ended up changing his mind on every issue. And then when he had to resign, he went to work for the Open Society Institute of George Soros. So this is all becoming very clear. You can learn a lot. There are 100 articles and embedded links in our letter at AmericanEvangelicals.com. We're just saying, look, guys, this has led to the breakdown of the family, the doubling of our national debt, violence in our inner cities, because Soros funds groups that agitate Ferguson and Charlotte and Baltimore. And then while he's running politicians, that those narratives help his politicians. It's quite disturbing, and it's Jesus said, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So it's time for the church and the country to wake up to this pernicious influence and to stand up as Americans and as Christians and say, we're not going to take it anymore. Let's get back to the actual gospel.
Well, you know, I'm so glad that your group has been willing to do this investigative work. You know, one of the big names that we hear in the more progressive Christian circles is Jim Wallis of the Sojourners organization. And a lot of people like Jim Wallis, but isn't it true he recently admitted to receiving money from some of these wealthy anti-Christian foundations?
Yes, he reluctantly admitted it, finally. Jim Wallis is a longtime social justice warrior, I guess, and community organizer from Chicago. He's known Barack Obama for a long time, and he helped to get him elected. Beginning in about 2003 or 2004, George Soros started funding Jim Wallis's group Sojourners, originally the Post-American, not Sojourners, but the Post-American, it was called, a magazine and a movement of social justice. It was discovered that Sojourners was getting grants from Soros.org, the Open Society Institute. And then when Marvin Alasky in 2010 asked Wallis if that were true, because Jim Wallis was coming through our churches and our colleges in swing states especially, really teaching non-Christian politicians how to use Bible words to break up the red state value voters and confuse and divide the vote, which was a strategy they had. Wallis, when asked if he was using Soros' money for Sojourners, vehemently denied it. No, I've never taken Soros' money. Marvin Alasky lies for a living. And he went on and on. It's actually an amazing, the audio is out there somewhere, and it's quite amazing. And the grants disappeared off of Soros.org, and then a few days later, a journalist, I think it was Jay Richards in National Review, found the grants and asked, why is Jim Wallis denying these grants? And that went viral. And so a few days later, Wallis appeared with, said he forgot the Soros money.
Oh, okay. He's just
one of the 20 richest men in the world, and Sojourners forgot the money.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all becoming clear to us. We're going to take a break here, Kelly.
Right.
This is very, very troubling information, and I think every evangelical, every evangelical Christian needs to be aware of this. It's 17 minutes past the hour. This is Faith Radio. We'll be back with more from Kelly Monroe Culberg, the author of Finding God at Harvard and one of the leaders of this new organization of evangelicals. Stick with us. Good morning. 20 minutes past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network, and we are so thankful that you have chosen to join us wherever you might be listening today. Maybe you're listening online or through our app, and if so, let us know where you are. Just go to myfaithradio.com and click on the welcome link there. We'll send you a free welcome gift. I'm Bill Meyer. My guest is Kelly Culberg. Kelly is the author of a fascinating book, came out a few years ago, called Finding God at Harvard. She's also one of the leaders in a new organization of evangelicals, and they've been investigating the links between billionaire atheist leftist George Soros and some of these quote-unquote progressive Christian groups like the Sojourners organization, headed up by Jim Wallace and several others. Now, Kelly, you and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece, Alveda King, say the activities of these liberal Christian groups may even have resulted in Christians being martyred for their faith in foreign countries. That's a pretty strong accusation. What's the connection there?
Well, let me just say that there are so many folks who've helped to write this letter and are putting the pieces together, various congressmen and General Boykin and Eric Metaxas, Miles McPherson, George Barna, Matt Staver, the list goes on, and Dr. King. Yes, well, what we're saying is that they helped. First of all, I should say that all of us could repent of something. So this is not, it's not a holier-than-thou kind of judgmental letter. It's really an urging for repentance and renewal. It starts, each of us is called to repentance. Our entire nation will be revived as we return to the Lord. We, the signatories, know we're sinners forgiven by the saving work of Christ and so forth. And then after years of earnest but less public attempts, it's now with heavy hearts that we urge progressive evangelicals and progressive Catholics to repent of the work that often led to a destructive liberal political agenda. And I do go on to say the consequences of this progressive agenda, in which, by the way, I was raised in this kind of worldview, I see now that it's led to countless, the injury to countless people, to the church, to the family, the nation, and the global church, including many martyrs. So what we mean there is that, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood ideology and political Islam has filled in where there have been vacuums by, really left by Secretary Hillary Clinton and John Kerry now, and President Obama. We know that this has happened. This is not very controversial. I mean, look what's with ISIS now in dozens of countries and so forth, and they're persecuting. I mean, many countries are calling it genocide. Finally, America did. And so, yes, I mean, this is where we've left a vacuum, where we've not named our enemy. It has led to the persecution of the church, and it's got to stop.
And you're saying that these liberal groups, liberal Christian groups, have actually contributed to these efforts through their political activities, which is a
they were many times funded to advance the progressive cause and to get people like Barack Obama elected.
Mm.
So, yes. I mean, if Ronald Reagan had been there, I don't think this would be happening.
Mm. Now, you and your colleagues in this new organization, and especially Alveda King, you argue that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. advocated a very different approach to social justice. We might call it biblical justice. It sounds like he would have been opposed to many of the things the progressive Christian groups are doing if he were alive today. Am I accurate?
Well, I mean, that's what his niece Alveda believes and many people believe. Of course, there's a tendency, whether liberal or conservative, to want to own Martin Luther King, just like people fight over C.S. Lewis or Bonhoeffer. And so I don't want to play that game. But what happens is that the Sojourners groups, or PICO, or Faith and Public Life, the Soros groups, Catholics and Alliance for the Common Good, Faithful America, I mean, there are a number of them mentioned in the letter. They have a repeated technique of calling anyone they disagree with names like racists and so forth, xenophobes and on, we all know, hateful. And we're saying, no, biblical truth is the highest love for human beings. Our problem is that we feel that progressive ideas are hurting people, that they're not loving, and that we're actually taking our words back and saying we do love people, and love doesn't double the national debt and leave people without employment and leave borders open where drugs and gangs and terror can come in. A biblical view, the whole counsel of Scripture, is wise welcome.
Mm.
And so we're actually challenging not just the people, but the consequence, the ideas, and the consequence of the ideas. So to your question, Bill, we quote Dr. Martin Luther King, where he says, In contrast to ethical relativism, Christianity sets forth a system of absolute moral values. He wrote, "We need to recapture the gospel glow of the early Christians who were nonconformists. Their powerful gospel put an end to such barbaric evils as infanticide. Finally, they captured the Roman Empire for Jesus Christ." So we're letting people speak in their own words. And we're saying that we want to see the church be depoliticized, not manipulated and divided and used, but to get back to the love of God and the gospel, the good news of Jesus who died for our sins, rose from the dead, and charges all of life and all of culture with hope.
Kelly Kohlberg, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate all your work. And once again, that website you mentioned?
AmericanEvangelicals.com. We'd love to have even more signatures.
AmericanEvangelicals.com. Thanks so much, Kelly.
Thank you, Bill.